From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well, listener, I will begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nugo Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. State-run vaccine manufacturer PT Bio Farma Persero announced that it had completed the production of 4 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine that will be ready for distribution in February 2021. President Director of Biopharma, Honesty Bashir, noted in a statement received by Antara on Saturday that the vaccine is still undergoing the quality control process and the result will be sent to BPOM to obtain the lot release before it can be distributed. For its distribution, Bashir stated that the Biopharma Group, in cooperation with state-run pharmaceutical firm PT Kimia Farma TBK and PT Indo Farma TBK, will optimize their 48 branches and warehouses across the country. The Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing, PUPR, targets housing subsidy assistance this year of more than 200,000 proper housing units, especially for low-income people. This was conveyed by the Minister of PUPR, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Saturday. He hopes that this can improve the quality of life of the beneficiaries by having a more decent, healthier, and more comfortable house. The PUPR Ministry continues to strive to meet the needs of decent housing, especially for low-income families. This is in accordance with the target of the 2020-2024 National Medium-Term Development Plan, which targets to increase access to livable house from more than 56.75% to 70%. The Riau Island Provincial's government is optimistic that the Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, is able to open access to tourists from Singapore and Malaysia to tourist areas in Batam, Bintan, Tanjung Pinang, and Karimun. Regional Secretary of the Riau Island, Tengku Said Arif Fadilah in Tanjung Pinang on Saturday said that the most foreign tourists to Riau Island came from Singapore and Malaysia, but since COVID-19 pandemic, the number of foreign tourists to Riau Island fell about 85% in 2020 compared to 2019, which reached 2.5 million people. The Riau Island Provincial Government hopes that Sandiaga and other relevant ministries will be able to encourage the two countries to open access for their people to vacation in Batam, Bintan, Tanjung Pinang, and Karimun. Meanwhile, tourism sector entrepreneurs in Riau Island are ready to accept tourists from Singapore and Malaysia by complying with health protocols to prevent transmission of COVID-19. Let's move on to the international news. UK's Prime Minister and President from the world's leading developed democratic nations will come together in Cornwall in June to address shared challenges from beating coronavirus and tackling climate change to ensuring that people everywhere can benefit from open trade, technological change and scientific discovery. The summit will be held in Carbis Bay, Cornwall from 11 to 13 June 2021. Australia, India and South Korea invited as guest countries, meaning summit participants will represent 2.2 billion people and over half of the world's economy. British Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Owen Jenkins, said on the press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Saturday, that the G7 is a unique international forum bringing the world's leading open, developed, outward-looking democratic nations together to respond to the latest global challenges.
The G7 is a unique international forum bringing together the world's open, developed, and outward-looking democratic nations to respond to the latest global challenges. Indonesia is a crucial partner for all G7 members, with dialogue with the world's fourth most populous country making crucial contributions to action on key issues on the G7 agenda, such as climate change and sustainable recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. The G7 can achieve results as a small and informal group, allowing leaders to be honest and open with each other. In past years, the G7 has taken action to strengthen the global economy, saved 27 million lives from AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria, and supported the education of millions of children in the poorest countries. In 2016, its members led the way in helping secure the historic Paris Climate Agreement to limit global emissions. The G7 now has an opportunity to lead the global recovery from coronavirus, protecting people's health, creating quality jobs, and tackling climate change. Our role as president allows us to direct the G7 agenda so we can tackle our big shared challenges like coronavirus and climate change.
The UK Prime Minister will use the first in-person G7 summit in almost 2 years to ask leaders to seize the opportunity to build back better from coronavirus, uniting to make the future fairer, greener and more prosperous. The UK will also host a number of meetings throughout the year between government ministers from G7, both virtually and in a different location across the UK, ensuring many areas of the countries experience the benefit of the UK's G7 presidency. This ministerial summit will cover economic, environmental, health, trade, technology, development and foreign policy issues. Two tremors hit Chilean territory minutes apart on Saturday evening, first in Antarctica followed by a second close to the capital Santiago, Chile's interior ministry said on Twitter. The first tremor of magnitude 7.1 struck at 8:36 p.m. local time, 216 kilometers northeast of the O'Higgins Chilean scientific base, and called for the coastal regions of Antarctica to be evacuated because of a tsunami risk. It also sent a message to Chilean cell phones around the country, urging people to abandon coastal areas, though the ministry later said this was sent in error. At 9:07 p.m. local time, a tremor of magnitude 5.6 struck the Chile-Argentina border region, the GFC German Research Center for Geoscience has said, at the depth of 133 kilometers and 30 kilometers east of Santiago. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said on Saturday he looked forward to working with U.S. President Joe Biden on their shared goals, including tackling climate change. Johnson used his first phone call with U.S. President to welcome Biden's announcement that the United States would rejoin the 2015 Paris Agreement on Climate and the World Health Organization, and they discussed the prospects of a free trade deal. The White House said Biden and Johnson talk about cooperation, including through multilateral organization on curbing climate change and fighting COVID-19. Biden also conveyed his intention to strengthen the special relationship between the countries and revitalize transatlantic ties, underscoring the critical role of NATO to collective defense and shared values. President Hassan Rouhani said on Saturday that COVID-19 vaccination will begin in the coming weeks in Iran, the Middle East's first-hit country. According to him, foreign vaccines are a necessity until local vaccines are available, without giving details of what foreign vaccines would be used. His remarks came as daily COVID-19 death fell to a low of more than 7 months, and officials announced that there were no more high-risk red cities in the country. Earlier this month, Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's highest authority, banned the government from importing vaccine from the United States and Britain, which he said were possibly seeking to spread the infection to other countries. Rouhani himself, in compliance with Khamenei's ban, said at that time that his government would purchase safe foreign vaccine. Listener, that was the news. The Indonesian government will again extend the public activity restriction enforcement period for 2 weeks from January 26, 2021 to February 8, 2021. This decision was taken after considering a number of pandemic parameters, which the government always monitors. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, who is also the chair of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery, Erlangga Hartarto, announced it in his statement at the Presidential's Office, Jakarta, on Thursday, January 21, 2021, after a limited meeting with the President and related officials. According to him, the extension was a request from President Joko Widodo and will be followed up by instruction from the Minister of Home Affairs. The decision is to continue to previous restriction measures that has been in effect in 7 provinces, namely DKI Jakarta, Banten, West Java, Central Java, Yogyakarta, East Java and Bali, with 73 regencies or cities. Based on the monitoring of the first public activity restriction enforcement period, there are 29 districts or cities that are still at high risk, 41 districts or cities with moderate risk, and 3 districts or cities with low risk. Meanwhile, from 7 provinces, it was seen that there was still an increase in case in 5 provinces with 2 provinces, namely Banten and Yogyakarta, experiencing a decrease in cases. A number of these parameters are the basis for the government consideration to re-implement the restriction for the next 2 weeks. Minister Erlangga hopes that each regional head can evaluate the public activity restriction enforcement period that has been running previously based on parameters below the national level of recovery, the mortality rate above the national level, the positivity rate above the national level, and the bed occupancy rate above the national level. The public activity restriction enforcement period, which is carried out to reduce the spread of COVID-19, regulates the limits of a number of activities. They include operating time for malls and restaurants until 8 p.m. total capacity in the workplace, namely 75% of employees working from home, online teaching and learning activities, up to a maximum limit of 50% of total capacity in mosques and churches or other congregations. To define construction activities and essential business sectors can remain fully operational by regulating operating hours and implementing strict health protocols. As for the transportation activities, the central government leaves the arrangement to each regional government. That was Spotlight. Today in history will begin on January 24, 1916, when the birth of General Sudirman occurred. General Besar or full General Raden Sudirman is one of Indonesia's most famous national heroes. He was born in Purbalingga, Central Java, January 24, 1916. In 1944, he joined the Japanese-sponsored Homeland Defense or PETA Army, serving as a battalion commander in Banyumas. After Indonesian independence in a battle with Japanese troops, he succeeded in seizing weapons from Japanese troops in Banyumas. After the People's Security Army or TKR was formed, he was then appointed commander of Division 5 Banyumas with the rank of colonel. And through the People's Security Army conference on November 2, 1945, he was elected commander of the JKR, commander of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia. His name is dedicated as the name of the main streets in various regions. Moving on to January 24, 1927, director Alfred Hitchcock released his first films, The Pleasure Garden, in England. Sir Alfred Joseph Hitchcock is a British director who is famous for his thriller films. Influenced by the Expressionism movement in Germany, he made his directorial debut in England before finally working in the United States in 1939. With more than 50 films in his six-decade career, he is one of the best and most popular directors of all time. His innovation and vision have influenced countless filmmakers, producers, and actors alike. I'll end today in history on January 24, 1939, when the Chile earthquake occurred. On January 24, 1939, there was the worst earthquake in history then, in southern Chile, with a magnitude of 8.3 on the Richter scale. The death toll is estimated of 28,000 people. After the disaster, the Chilean government created a development cooperation agency to reconstruct and rebuild Chile. That was today in history.
To
mencegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our podcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Dr. Dilip Kumar Sarkar in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English through frequency 3325 kHz at 1713 hours until 1753 hours UTC, and the SINPO was 54454. Hello, Mr. Dilip Kumar Sarkar. Thank you for your email, which contained of your reception report. Please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Grand Committee for the 20th Papua National Sport Week, or PON, has entrusted the Indonesian National Military to handle the PON torch procession, or relays, which will pass through districts and cities of 5 customary territories in Papua, the easternmost region of the Republic of Indonesia. The head of PON Competition Arena, Equipment and Ceremonies, Yusuf Yambe Yapti, told reporters in Jayapura through the committee website on Saturday that the PON flame-taking and relays will be handed over to the National Military because the committee's burden is too heavy, so that cannot take care of everything. This National Sport Week is a national event which is the first time held in Papua. Therefore, according to Yusuf Yambe, the synergy between all components in this country must be optimized to make it a success. Meanwhile, for other types of ceremonies such as welcoming and honoring contingents, honoring winners, and gala dinners, and others, were all handled by the committee. The tough challenge is the flame-taking in the Bintuni and carrying it in relays. Yusuf Yambe said, the Indonesian military has a solid organization up through all regions in the country. The torch must be carried, passing through 5 customary areas, various districts or cities in Papua, and even across provinces in Indonesia. Previously, chairman of the Grand Committee for the 20th Papua National Sport Week, Yunus Wonda, said, the PON torch will be paraded, passing district representative from 5 customary areas before finishing at the Papua Bangkit Stadium on October 2, 2021. He said the PON torch procession, from start to finish, will be handled directly by the Indonesian military because they are under the ceremony committee.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply an email from our listener, Shinichi Suzuki in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Indonesian program through frequency 3325 kHz at 1400 hours until 1459 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Shinichi Suzuki. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Please keep listening to our broadcast. Don't forget to send your reception report. As appreciation, we will play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Seluas angkasa berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa kulakukan perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata yang terus mengalir, selalu memberi karya terbaik bagi bangsa. Menjadi mata air, ciptakan kedamaian, menjawab tantangan arah tujuan masa. Seluas angkasa berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa,
apa yang bisa
kulakukan perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara. Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata yang terus mengalir, selalu memberi karya terbaik bagi bangsa. Menjadi mata air, ciptakan
kedamaian, menjawab tantangan arah tujuan masa.
Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. Stay at home, clean your hands, and follow your local health regulation.
RRI was office voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
The name Seribu Batu Songgo Langit, which means 1,000 stones supporting the sky, has its own meaning. It's because in this area there is a hill that seems to be a pillar supporting the sky. Before becoming a tourist spot, at this location, there were thousands of rocks besides the vast pine forest. This tourist attraction is approximately 21 kilometers from the city center of Yogyakarta. Entering the Seribu Batu Songgo Langit Gate, visitors must first descend on wooden ladder to reach the first spot. The spot offers a fairy tale house said to be made of 1,000 pieces of wood and is shaped like a small house that resembles a hobbit or dwarf house in a fairy tale. There you can sit back and relax on a stage made of pine wood. Take pictures and enjoy the fresh air typical of pine forest. After passing the unique hobbit house spot, visitors can continue to peek off the Seribu Batu or Thousand Stone Songgo Langit tourist spot, called Songgo Langit Hill. This spot is approximately 1 km from the Hobbit House. If you feel tired, on the way to Songgo Langit Hill, there are several places to unwind for a moment. Arriving at the top of Songgo Langit, you will be treated to a very beautiful view, where you will feel like you are on the top of the sky, or as local people say, the second floor of Yogyakarta or Jogja City. Here you can also enjoy the fresh air from the top of the hill, seeing the vast expanse of rice fields and residential areas, and of course, you can take as many pictures as you like with such beautiful background. The best time to visit Seribu Batu Songgo Langit is in the morning or late afternoon, because at this time the sun is not so hot. In addition to paying attention to visiting times, visitors also expected to prepare sufficient stamina and don't forget to bring supplies. However, in the area there are some stalls that provide food and drinks. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder.
Now we'll reply an email from another our listener, Abid Hussein Sajid in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Abid. Thank you very much for your email and the reception report. I'm glad to know that you are enjoying our program. Keep listening and don't forget to send your reception report. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song. Here's the song.
Metanoia jadi gol sewaktu terbunuh di hujan peluru bertubi-tubi rasa salah dosa memburu di tengah gemuruh ombak menerpa ku putuskan berlutut lalu rebah kau datang untuk hapuskan rasa resah segala badai ombak hidup lalu rebah That's why I'm grateful. Grace overwhelming, my God is able to transform me like Optimus Prime. There is no turning back again this time. Yes.
Berikan asa
biarlah atasku kau berkuasa
yang kau yang kupuja.
Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Since the pandemic, there has been an increase in the examination of COVID-19 samples. Meanwhile, there are still many laboratories that are inadequate or do not have automatic machines. Because of this, a number of researchers from Pajajaran University Unpad Bandung, West Java, developed an automatic probiotic-based independent ribonucleic acid extraction machine. This tool, called Automagnetic Extractor, or Automager, is claimed to be the first RNA extraction machine made in Indonesia. The product was developed by several researchers from the Faculty of Medicine and the Faculty of Mathematics and Natural Sciences Unpad, namely Safira Ekawardani, Sabarni Gafar, Lia Faridah, and Hestilina Wiraswati. Safira in a press release explained that initially Automager was developed to extract RNA from malaria and dengue fever viruses. However, because more and more people were infected with COVID-19, the team then intensively developed it to help the PCR examination process from COVID-19 samples. Safira said that currently not all laboratories have robotic machine to extract the RNA samples. Adding a new machine's unit is considered difficult to do because it has to be imported and the price is very expensive. Technically, Automager functions to extract sample cells from RNA to be taken, which is needed in PCR examination. Samples that have been put into the viral transport medium or VTM are purified with Automager so that the RNA is completely separated from the cells. Although the Unpad research team has also created an independent viral transport medium that can inactivate viruses, Automager is able to obtain pure RNA. Currently, Automager is still waiting for distribution permission from the Ministry of Health. Safitri also explained, Automager Works is adopting the Kingfisher extraction machine, the best-rated extraction machine on the market. The extraction capacity matches the Kingfisher machine, which is 96 samples per operation and takes only about 1 to 2 hours. This result is far more than the South Korean extraction machine with an extraction capacity of about 18 to 30 samples only. Almost all materials and production processes for this tool are carried out domestically. It is hoped that Automager can be a solution for providing automatic extraction machine to support COVID-19 sample inspection. Of course, with kits and reagents that can be obtained easily and at competitive price.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyō shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
For COVID, the getting overbragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Music Corner for today will discuss two talented young singers, Tiara Andini and Arshi Widianto. They collaborated on a music project series entitled #ArtiUntukCinta. This music project series contains 5 songs that are related to each other, with details, 3 singles and a duet music video for Arshi and Tiara, a duet song for Arshi and Tiara in Korean, and 1 single Arshi music which Tiara plays in the music video. The first single from the music series is entitled Cintanya Aku, released on January 22, 2021. The song is one of the stories of Archie and Tiara's love journey in the music series. Meanwhile, four other songs will be released every 2 weeks. Listener, here is the song Cintanya Aku by Tiara Andini and Archie Widianto.
Tergetar aku tepat di hadapanmu, debar jantungku berdetak saat ku genggam tanganmu. Beruntung aku kini dapatkan cintamu yang tercantik di hatiku sejak awal ku bertemu.
Janji padaku, jangan kau lukai hati seperti kisah yang lalu.
Kau bukan cinta pertamaku, namun aku berharap mulai hari ini, saat ini, engkau cintanya aku.
Yang ku rasakan denganmu semua berbeda. Kekasih yang baik hati kini ada di sampingku. Janji padaku, jangan ada
hatiku. Oh, tak inginkan bila ini terbagi. Cinta, oh, engkau cinta.
Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Hari COVID-19 dibakoikum fil manazil.
Di zaman gegen corona, we're bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the world.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions and 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Savitri Adela. See you on the next English program.